I'm sure that you are at the right place if you think that you are at our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. And there are many churches out there, and I hope that you found the right church you are desiring to worship God in the community of this place. And as a church, we called our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, we gather together for the special purpose. The purpose of our church, which is, we call that the mission of the church, is... Cheat note is in the worship bulletin. Top of the worship, the first page, the first column, top of the church at worship, there is a cheat note, and just pay attention to it. The mission of the church says us, the purpose, telling us why we do get together as a church of God, our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. The purpose of being church together at this place, which we called our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, is... That's why we are gathering together, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Not the disciples of any particular person, but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for the transformation of the world. That is the main reason we are being church together in this place. But how can we make a disciples of Jesus Christ in this place? How? That I'm asking the vision statement. How can we make a disciples of Jesus Christ in this place? The mission statement of this church is?
To make known, loving, nurturing, celebrating, God in everyone.
Yes, we are here to create a home to welcome, nurture, and celebrate God and everyone. We are putting God first. If you and I are welcoming God in this place, we cannot be the church. We are welcoming God and having a nurturing moments with God, being nurtured by God, and also celebrating God's presence. And that first step is passed, and we are welcoming everyone. And then nurturing everyone in God's name. And we're so celebrating our presence together in the presence of God. That's how we are making disciples of Jesus Christ. And then that's really set the tone how we can be the church together in this place. When we visit someone's house, and then you realize that every house has a different principle where the rules apply. And someone, when I visited my friend's house, my friend's mother when I was young, and she always said that when you are in this house, we have a rule, my rule, so you needed to abide into it. When you go visit an Asian people's house, the rule number one is take off your shoe. And if you do not, that means you are offending the family rules. So when you're visiting someone, it's a place, some places, you need to know the basic principle or rules. In this place, when we get together, we have a rules to follow, or the principle we need to follow, which is, the first one is the Apostles' Creed. We put it up on the screen. I believe it's going to be coming. Beginning of the service, and then we always recited the Apostles' Creed. Why? People were asking me, why do we need to recite the Apostles' Creed every single Sunday while we are beginning the worship? I responded to that question individually who brought that up, that question to me. But as I decided to open up this conversation with all of us in this place, because you and I really do needed to know the house rule in this place, our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. We are the Christian church. We are the Methodist church. But before we define our church as a Methodist church, we are the church of the believers. Believing something. What do we believe? We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as we recited in the Apostles' Creed. Creed means I believe. I believe something. Apostles' Creed means I believe the teachings of the apostles. And the Apostles' Creed is not written by the apostles. It is written by the church fathers in the first century. They draft and finalize this Apostles' Creed statement, the short statement, not like the longer one we are reciting beginning of the service, in the second century. When the Christianity become a legal religion, not a heresy, and in the fourth century, and they adopted the Bible to have a guideline, and then when they adopted this Bible, they articulated a little bit further in depth and how we believe God and what kind of God we do believe. So when we come to the fifth century, the Apostles' Creed reciting and every Sunday it is formed. And then and since then, and every church, and they recited the Apostles' Creed as a statement of the faith. But it's in the during the second century, in the first century, and they did not have a Bible. The Bible was formed, canonized around the fourth century when Christianity was legalized. But it's during the century, the second century and first century, when they were booming the Christian movement or believers movement, there was no guideline. Every church has different principles. But it's the apostles who are the followers of Jesus Christ who learned the teachings from Jesus. And they felt that they needed to bring it some principle guideline so they can distinguish what is the true message and what is not. What is the message of the truth? What is the message of a false? They needed to distinguish that. How they did? By bringing the creed, I believe statements to every church. If you as a church to believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as the creed is stated, you are the Christian church, not the heresy church. Church means a gathering place, and back then, not the church building, but gathering. And people gather together, they call church. But what kind of church are we talking about in here? Christian church, believers church, believing what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So principle number one, we get together here and we are practicing in agreeing up the boundary is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is reason. That is one of the reasons why we are reciting the Apostles' Creed every Sunday morning. And the second reason why we are reciting the Apostles' Creed every Sunday morning is it is the belief system we needed to get together, and also this is the oldest creed based on the Christian history. Why we needed to recite it? Why? When someone asks you, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of God do you believe? Can you elaborate your Christian faith or the faith that you have? It is hard to articulate. And from back to back, the Bible, it said that many, many different way of articulating our belief system. But it is hard to articulate, right? And many people say that evangelism is so hard. It is hard to talk about God. You know, if you truly know what you believe, evangelism is not an issue. Evangelism means to talk about God, talk about faith that you have, talk about your faith, and share your faith with other people. It is very simple. But it's we take the two big thing out of the evangelism, and it silence our journey with other people. We did not even know how to articulate our faith. Do you know what kind of God do you believe? Do you know? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When someone asks you, our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, what kind of God do we believe? And we need to articulate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If this person wanted to engage more depth in conversation, you can recite the Apostles' Creed for them. God the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And then from starting today, we are getting into this Apostles' Creed sermon series because you and I needed to know what kind of house rules we needed to abide into, what kind of God we do believe in this place. It is not negotiable. If someone is believing some other God, this is not the right church because this church is founded and grounded into this Trinity God we do believe. For the sake of welcoming other people, if we forsake our root, our foundation, it is not welcoming. It is not inclusive. Whenever we talk about inclusiveness, we really do need to know the core value we are hold on to. If we let go of that, there is no place to include other people. Do you follow me? For the sake of inclusion and welcoming, do not forsake the disbelief we do have. And you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, before we read it back to back this Bible, we really do need to know what kind of God we are believing in this place as a community of faith. That's why we are reciting it. I hope that at the end of the Apostles' Creed sermon series, at the end of the October, and I hope that all of you and me to can recite the Apostles' Creed without looking at the screen. I hope that will happen. And believe it or not, I brought up in a very conservative Christian home and Christian church. When I was in a grade school, I memorized this one. When I moved from Korea to United States when I was 15, one mission, or the one task, or the homework my home pastor got me is memorize Apostles' Creed in English right away. Because that is the articulation of my faith. Whenever I needed to go, I needed to share with it, with other people. And also, he encouraged me to memorize the Lord's Prayer in English too. Those are the two requirements that he made me to have as a Korean-American Christian in the new land I landed in because of that language. You who speak the English, this is a basic thing, so we really do need to memorize this. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of imposing this one on you because you and I really do need to know this. For the sake of the building the foundation, you and I needed to make sure that you have this solid foundation in order to build house of God in this place and expand the kingdom of God for the God's sake. We do believe in it. So if you are able, please open your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It is a very short one verse in this passage. The passage we're going to be reading it. But it tells a lot about what we need to do about belief. First, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Let us read it together. Ready, set, go. The main passage I would like to focus on is that is why I am suffering as I am. This passage is written by Apostle Paul when he was imprisoned for the gospel's sake. He did not do any robbery or murdering or anything wrong morally, but simply because of the preaching of the gospel, he was imprisoned. And then he was a partner with Timothy in ministry. And because of the distance, he was not able to be with Timothy in his ministry when Timothy is struggling. They worked together all the time. Paul was mentoring Timothy, young minister, young leader in the church. And then with the encouragement that Timothy was the kind of the leading pastor at the churches in Ephesus. And then he was doing amazing things, but he was alone and he didn't have a partner. He was discouraged. As you and I know that being alone is very hard. Whenever we are discouraged, we need to have someone to lift it up, encourage and challenge us too. But Paul was the one who played that role in Timothy's ministry. But he was not able to be with Timothy when he was down. So when he heard Timothy is struggling in his ministry, and he decided to write a letter and remind him that he is suffering because of the gospel. You can do it if you believe what you believe seriously. Whenever I receive this message, that is why I'm suffering as I am. I oftentimes think of my mom. And she suffered for me because she was mom. And she believed that God gave me the great opportunity. And she was doing her best. When I was struggling with my health when I was young, for hospitalized for 2 years, she never gave up on me, and she went extra miles. I do know that she believed in me that I will get healed and God will do the great things. And even she gave up all her life in Korea and moved whole family to Southern California for my health's sake. She knew and she believed. And because of her belief, she risked everything. I do believe that mothers and fathers, you believe in your children. You invested everything, whatever you have. Sacrifice your time and resources to invest everything on your children. Even offering your life. I do believe that if someone is going to attack your kids, I know that your father and mother, you're going to pull out. I know for sure. Because you love your kids so much. Our God loved us so much and believed in us so much. So he sent his only begotten son for you and me because he believed that God's kingdom can expand through the one person's death, and then they are earned so many children, like you and me. He believed that. And you and I are so lovable. Do you know that? If you do believe that you are so lovable, say, I am lovable.
I am.
So cheer you up. God invests an amazing person for you because God loves you so much. What kind of belief system do you have? If you truly believe that you can do certain things in Christ, you can do it. Do you know that? Do you know that? Your belief system tells a lot. No one cannot push you around. Someone told me that I am a hard cookie to chew. But believe it or not, there is a chocolate chip in it. If you keep chewing, sweetness will be coming out of it. Why people say that I'm a hard cookie to chew? Because I believe what I believe. Unless I do understand what other people say and reasonable enough, I do not put myself in that category or follow it. Isn't it so amazing that I believe, this reasoning person believe in Jesus Christ who died for me and saved me and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I think God knows that I am a skeptical person. And because of that, I think early in my life, God intervened into my life and make sure that while still I'm tender and softy a little bit, and God make sure that God intervened and make sure that I know Jesus Christ as a Lord and my Savior. Accept Him through the healing process, through the healing experience I had early life. Nowadays, I still do not know how these healing things happen. I still do not know why I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But one thing I know for sure, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. No one cannot forsake this belief, my faith in Christ. Many of you know that I prefer not to speak in front of the people. Believe it or not, yes, I do not want it, if it is possible. But for sake of the gospel, the experience God gave me, I have a burning desire to share this good news of Jesus Christ with you. I hope that you will have a joy of salvation in your life, regardless of the life situation you are going through. I do want you to know that God loves you. You are lovable. God died. God sent Jesus Christ and it sent it for us to restore the joy of salvation and reconcile with God. I believe that this church is going to be amazing advocacy for the other people. I do believe that God is at work in this place. I do believe that you guys are the chosen one for envisioning the future of this congregation for God's glory's sake. I do believe. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? And I hope you too. Because you and I received an amazing blessing in this place. Yes, we do not have everything what we want, but we have everything what we need to build this congregation, to build God's kingdom, to expand the God's kingdom in this place. I do believe that everyone, each one of you are so lovable, so valuable. You can have certain things in this place if you do believe the same way I do believe. I do sense, I can smell, I can taste amazing glory of God in this place already. I do believe that. I do sense that. I am who I am because of this belief. Even though I was a little bit dragging from moving from California to here, I believe that something great beyond my understanding can happen in this place. I believe that because of that, I was betting all in for this. Occasionally, I dragged. You guys know that, right? Occasionally, I was nagging, what am I here? And you know that. I do believe that you noticed that I was dragging some points. Sometimes I did not want to talk about anything, but just, Lord, when are you gonna come? You know? But you know that, right? But it's at that moment I had you, each one of you, encourage me that tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is another day. I am so thankful for the team spirit, partnership of you in God's ministry in this place. Like Timothy, by myself, I cannot do anything. Probably for a short period of time, I might. But I cannot. I needed to have a Paul in this congregation who can encourage me. And I am trying to be a Paul to other people, to you too, to encourage you, edifying each other, build this congregation together. When we are weak, we are strong because of the presence of God and presence of you. For that, I do give thanks to God all the time. Paul, he said, that is why I'm suffering. Because he believed that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will work it out, everything for good for those who love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
With this love, we are receiving this communion. Church is all about love. Communion is all about love. Preaching is all about love. It is a simple, but it is not simple enough to understand and capture unless you believe in this God whose love is unconditional. Before Jesus died on a cross for us,